Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use his word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
Well, his nickname was the Great Bear, and he got that nickname in part because of his physical size, of his moods that people observed, and also because of, well, the way he walked. His name was George Frederick Handel. And he was a musical genius whose father actually disapproved of his love for music. But thankfully, young Handel pressed on and kept calm, though he was known later in life for his hot temper. But we hardly think of that, do we? We hardly think of that when we hear this brilliant composer who had periodically prickly moods. But when we hear the playing of Handel's Messiah, our spirits soar, especially that part known as the Hallelujah Chorus. I mean, that's just a great one. And did you know that Handel's Messiah and Hallelujah Chorus was first performed in Dublin, Ireland on April 13th, 1742? Now, you talk about things that stand the test of time. That's one of them. Now, Messiah also includes a section that Handel wrote, drawing from the sheep and shepherd imagery that we find in the Bible. The lyrics come straight from the King James translation. They're as familiar to us as Psalm 23, but they find their origin in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Let's say this familiar verse together. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's one of the great messianic passages in the Old Testament that point us to the cross of Christ. Believe it or not, Handel scored, are you ready for this? 8 pages of musical notes just for these lyrics. The choir sings it over and over and over and over again. All we like sheep have gone astray. Kind of reminds me of the lyrics written by another hymn writer. His name was Robert Robinson. Come thou fount of every blessing. He draws from Isaiah 53 and verse 6, just as Handel did. Do you remember these? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're wanderers, aren't we? All we like sheep have wandered away from our good shepherd. We're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God I love. It's just part of our fallen nature. Moment of confession here. Sometimes I wonder why God called me into vocational ministry. It's not because I had anything to offer him. Sometimes I think he looked at me and says, Jones, that's the only way I can keep you close to the flock of God. Because I have to show up every week, right? I have to be in his word. Because I'm so prone to wander. We all are. Now, because sheep easily wander away, shepherds learn to keep a keen eye on their flock. A wandering sheep, get this, will lie down in a distant meadow, roll over on its back, and not be able to get up. And this is what's called a cast sheep. And a sheep that finds itself in a cast position or a cast down position is easy prey for predators, as you can imagine. Just picture that sheep having rolled over on its back and its legs are kind of, you know, pointing up into the sky. They can't get up. They can't get up. And time is of the essence. Time is of the essence for the shepherd to find that lost wandering sheep and restore the animal to an upright position and return it safely to the flock. And so a cast-down sheep that is restored by its caring shepherd is the picture behind this phrase beginning in verse 3. He restored my soul. Let's say it together. He restored my soul. Now back up to verse 1. Let's get a running start on this great psalm again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And verse 2 tells us that there are some things that our good shepherd does to completely satisfy us. He completely satisfies our need for rest. Why? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down sometimes. He also satisfies our need for replenishment and nourishment He makes me lie down in green pastures. Not those pastures that have thorns and thistles and brown patches. No, a green pasture that is lush and full of nourishing vegetation. He satisfies my need for refreshment because my soul is thirsty. So he leads me beside those still waters where I can drink from the living water that is Christ. And now we come to the beginning of verse 3 where he restores our soul. And he restores the cast down sheep. Think of it this way. A lift up is exactly what a cast down sheep needs. Do you need a lift up today? Maybe you wandered into church today because it's been a hard week or a hard month, or it's been a tough year or a tough couple of years, and you need something or someone to lift you up. Well, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller describes the plight of the cast down sheep. Philip Keller knows what he's talking about because he was a trained agrologist and a shepherd from South Africa. And he wrote this book, and he writes, "A heavy, fat, or long-fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to the extremities, especially the legs." He goes on to say that if the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. If it is cool and cloudy and rainy, it may survive in this position for several days. Well, no wonder a good shepherd will search day and night for even one sheep that has wandered away. And maybe this is what Jesus had in mind in Luke chapter 15 when he told one of his many parables. This one in response to some of the Pharisees who didn't like Jesus because he mingled with sinners. You know, they just sneered at him. "Oh, you're the friend of sinners," he was known as. Hanging out with those publicans and those sinners. And the Savior told a story about a shepherd who had a small flock, just 100 sheep. And one of them went missing. He says in Luke 15, beginning in verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now, Jesus told this parable and the ones that follow to prick the hearts of the religious leaders who sneered at him for socializing with sinners. How dare you do something like that? And in that parable, the 99 who were righteous were these uppity, Pharisees who thought more highly of themselves than they should. But Jesus drove the point home even stronger by telling two more parables. The parable of the lost sheep is followed by the parable of the lost coin, which is followed by the granddaddy of them all, the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. All of this to say that God cares about and is concerned about his lost sheep. And he goes after them. It reminds me of what the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, it's one of those sheep and shepherd passages you want to write down. And in this case, and I alluded to it last week, the shepherds or the leaders of Israel had neglected the sheep or the people who had wandered away. And the Lord scolded the shepherds of Israel for this. And he said, "If you won't go get them, I myself will be their shepherd. And I will go get my wandering people and will bring them home." To Jesus, it was unthinkable for a shepherd to let his sheep wander away and not search the highlands and lowlands for this lost animal. And the Lord God of heaven and earth, you know, said the same thing. I am a shepherd at heart. And if one of my sheep have wandered away, I will go get them if you won't. Now, all of this makes me think and reflect upon more than 30 years of pastoral ministry. And how many times I have experienced over the years and have been a part of wondering, where did this person go? Or where did this family go? Sheep will wander away, and we all have a tendency to get ourselves into a thicket of trouble, don't we? And these days, it's not easy to keep up with the flock of God. The pandemic has made it even more difficult. Most churches today, by the way, are saying that after the pandemic, their in-person attendance is about 50% of what it was pre-pandemic. Now we have live stream to take into consideration, but boy, we've wandered away. Some have wandered into recreation and amusements, travel sports, and other things that become a priority to them. Prior to the pandemic, the average church-going person was physically in church 1.4 times a month. That was the national statistic. I dare say what the statistic is now. But we seem to kind of be wandering, you know, further and further away. Oftentimes in our pastoral staff meetings, we will inquire about an individual or a family we've not seen in a while. We'll ask questions like, are they okay? Have they moved away? Has anyone had any contact with them recently? Who's their small group leader? Because in a large church like ours, the challenge for the pastoral staff is to shepherd the shepherds who shepherd the sheep, okay? That's how you do this. Otherwise, you know, statistics have shown that most churches never grow beyond 100, maybe 150 or 200 people because the expectation is for the pastor to do all the shepherding. Well, it just doesn't work beyond a certain number of people. And when you get to a church of our size, you have to shepherd the shepherds. And that's actually a biblical model because Ephesians 4 tells us as pastors to equip the saints for the work of ministry, right? Here we are. I mean, we're doing the best we can to shepherd sheep that seem to have wandered far from the flock these days. And it becomes a challenge for us. But let's get back to the idea of this cast down sheep. Like sheep, we too can end up in a cast position. And before we talk about a long list of things that can put us there, let's go to Psalm chapter 42 for a moment. Psalm chapter 23, hold your place there. We'll go to Psalm chapter 42, where at the top of the psalm it says it's a maskil or a lament and has something to do with the sons of Korah, who when you read the psalm, gives you the indication that they might be a part of the worship team, okay? But if you know your biblical history, you know Korah led the rebellion against Moses. And it didn't go that well, all right? The sons of Korah were perhaps still carrying the woundedness from that. And they wrote this lament psalm. Lament is a category of psalms that are very sad, but end up on a high note at least. And three times, not once, not twice, but three times in Psalm 42, you have this question. Why are you cast down, O my soul? In fact, look at it in verse 5 and 6. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Well, historically, we know that the sons of Korah, you know, what happened back then? Might have been carried on generationally. There was a wound in that family. And these sons of Korah that can remember a time when they led people in worship are now far from the community of faith that they once led. And those that were once friends of theirs, they refer to them as their adversaries. Look at verse 10. As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, Well, they probably didn't always call them adversaries. Maybe they were close friends. Maybe they sat with them in church and worshiped with them. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? You know, wounds that come from once faithful friends are some of the most painful torments we experience in life and can put us in a cast down position. To where, as a sheep of God's pasture, we wander away from the church and we say things like this: I've got my personal relationship with Jesus, but I'm done with church, with organized church. I heard somebody say recently, I'm spiritual, I'm just not that institutional and traditional about it, so I don't go to church very often. I wonder if the sons of Korah were thinking that way. And they had wandered away, wounded, wandering in their woundedness because of something that happened. You can find yourself in a cast position that way. Why? Because when you wander away from the flock of God, you isolate yourself. Don't miss the fact that Jesus talked about a shepherd who had 99 sheep. One wandered away. The 99 still had the fellowship of one another. But the one found himself over here on his back and in a precarious position, isolated from the flock. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? It's easy to get yourself into a place like that. We've all been there. We've all been there. I wrote down some of the other reasons why we might find ourselves in a cast position and needing the restoration of our soul by our good shepherd. These all kind of start with the letter D. The first is disobedience. We wander away from our good shepherd and willfully disobey his commandments, right? And when we do that, it always leads us to a bad place, far away from his fellowship and even his protective care. Another is a lack of discipline. Maybe physically and spiritually, even intellectually, we allow ourselves to become fat and lazy, and the result is we end up in a hot mess, drifting away from the Lord and from his presence and from his fellowship and from the flock of God. Sometimes we become cast down because of emotional distress. And through no fault of our own, we become dejected and despondent and dispirited and discouraged and full of despair. How's that a lineup of D's right there that all kind of describe this emotional distress that we find ourselves in? The pandemic has put a lot of people in that place. Oh, little did we know. No, we knew. Some of us were saying it at the beginning that, you know, locking in place and isolating in place is not going to be good for us spiritually and emotionally and psychologically. And now we're waking up to the reality of the impact on adults and kids because we locked down and isolated ourselves and we were away from one another. Listen, friends, we were created for the flock. We were created for community. And isolation, whether through a mandated government lockdown or I just wander away because I'm wounded or for some other reason, it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. I've also met some people, too many, who are in financial distress. Debt has a way of putting us in a cast down position. When we ignore the abundance of biblical wisdom about how to manage our money and steward it well, and we get ourselves in a pile of debt somewhere, no wonder we wake up in the middle of the night saying, why is my soul so cast down? Because we're under the burden of debt. And you know, I always say it takes 2 seconds to get into debt. It takes years to dig yourself out of it. One more D, had to put this one in there, divorce. I've never met a divorced person or couple that's not cast down in some way, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Okay. But here's the good news in all this. He restores my soul. Say it with me again. He restores my soul. If you're a sheep in a cast down position, know this, that your good shepherd's coming after you. But he's not coming after you to scold you. That's the misnomer that we have and the misgivings we have about it. We wander away, even away from church and the flock of God, and we get ourselves into a thicket of trouble over here. We're a little bit embarrassed to come back. We're not sure whether the people will receive us back, let alone God. And we're afraid that we're going to get the cold, stern scoldness of our good shepherd. That's not the picture here. That's not the picture in the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. Go back there, and what does it say? That our good shepherd, who is in the business of restoring us, he found that one lost sheep, put it on his shoulder, and Jesus said, rejoicing, he brought that sheep back. He didn't sit the sheep down and say, now, let me tell you a thing or two. Bad decision, sheep. Bad decision. I just came up with that. Isn't that brilliant? That wasn't even in my notes. It was the Spirit of God right there, just giving it to me. No, he doesn't scold us in that way. Picks us up and puts us on his shoulders and brings us home. Let's flesh that out a little bit more. Exactly what does it look like when God restores our soul? Well, let's, for starters, look at the word nephesh in the Hebrew language, which is translated soul. It encompasses the totality of our being, mind, body, spirit, and emotions. Now, for us Westerners, we think compartmentally. We don't think holistically about ourselves. We think of ourselves as physical beings, and we buy the gym membership, and we're all about, you know, getting in shape physically, to the neglect of other aspects that contribute to our wellness or our lack of wellness. No, the soul, in the Hebrew way of thinking, mind, body, spirit, emotions, we're talking intellectual, physical, spiritual, and emotional parts of us. When he restores our soul, he has all of that in mind. Even our physical body. One day we'll get a new body in the next life, a heavenly body. So there's ultimate restoration there. But what does all this look like? First, he redeems our soul eternally. All right, there's a spiritual restoration here, and that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, who laid down his life for us on the cross. And we go from darkness to light, from lost to found, from death to life because of our relationship with him. Our sins separated us from God, but according to Isaiah 53 and verse 6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why he's not scolding us. He's already taken care of the sin problem. He laid our sins on Christ, and all of the wrath of God was poured out on him. So our good shepherd could come to us, pick us up in all of our brokenness, put us on his shoulders, and take us home. Kind of makes me want to sing the hallelujah chorus about right now. Wouldn't that be great? Secondly, our good shepherd also gets us out of the mess we got ourselves into. Now it gets real practical, right? Started on that spiritual side about restoring our soul eternally. But what about the here and now? We got ourselves into a mess. We wandered away thinking we knew better. Maybe looking at some grass over there that looked greener, and we got there and found out it was a mirage. Wasn't as green as we thought it was. But here we are in a mess. Our good shepherd restores our soul by getting us out of the mess we got ourselves into. He cares enough to find us and to carry us home. Kind of makes me think of a little gift that we, Catherine and I, received from some friends in Israel. They own a gift shop in Bethlehem. And we returned from a trip to Israel, and weeks later, this box shows up. I open it up, and it's about 8 inches tall, pretty nice size thing, but it's carved out of olive wood, and it's a picture of or a carving of a shepherd who has a staff in one hand, and in the other arm, he's carrying a sheep. And it's a beautiful reminder of Christ, our good shepherd. And I like to imagine that it was a cast-down sheep that he rescued after it wandered into a dangerous thicket. He restores my soul. While we're thinking of the ways he restores our soul, let's just add this. He cleans us up and binds up our wounds, all right? Sometimes we get ourselves into a bad place and we're hurt. I mean, we're disheveled. It may be physically or emotionally or spiritually. And again, he doesn't come to scold us. He comes and before he gets us back to the flock, he's got to clean us up a little bit, bind up those wounds. I think of Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You may be here today, your heart broken over something. Maybe it's a woundedness you're carrying with you and you just can't get past that. Your spirit is crushed. You're cast down for some reason. Well, the Lord is close to you. He's not saying, get away from me, you stupid wandering sheep. No, he goes after you and picks you up in his arms, puts you on his shoulders and carries you home. One more thought here. Our good shepherd, listen to this, returns us to the flock from which we wandered and revitalizes the community of sheep. Okay? His goal is to go out and find this cast down sheep, to search the highlands and the lowlands day and night until he finds even one of his sheep. He's taking care of the 99 over here. Don't think that he's left them vulnerable to predators. No, he's got them under care. But he's on a mission to find this one because he loves and cares for and is concerned about his one. But remember this, he shepherds more than one sheep. And we, who are the sheep of his pasture, are part of something larger than ourselves. You see, we probably wandered away or perhaps wandered away because we thought we could go it alone. I've got my relationship with Jesus. I don't need that church stuff. And you find over time that when you isolate yourself, it just doesn't go well. We're not made for that. The pandemic taught us that. And besides, we're part of something larger. We're the sheep of his pasture. He has a larger flock. He's as personal, that's why I say Psalm 23 and me, he's as personal as to go after the one, but he never lets us isolate ourselves over here. His intention is always to bring us back and to restore us to the flock from which we have wandered, and in the process, revitalize the community of sheep. Because here's the reality, when we wander away from God's flock, not only in time because of isolation will we lose vitality, but the community of sheep does as well. Because we need each other. And the more who wander off, the more the community and the flock loses vitality. Something and someone are missing. The capacity for survival, the continuation of a meaningful and purposeful existence, and the mission for which we are committed is compromised in some way. And so the shepherd brings back the wandering sheep and reintroduces it to the flock. Now, at this point, I can imagine that it's important how the flock receives that wandering sheep, right? Can you imagine the 99 over here calling a meeting and saying, you know, I don't know where this shepherd of ours has been. Here we are, the 99. Doesn't he care about us? He went running after this one lost sheep, and then the sheep comes home, and they isolate him and say, where you been? Do you know what you did? And we can't do that. The shepherd doesn't scold him. Let's make sure the 99 don't scold the sheep who's come home as well. That's why this picture presupposes there's grace in the flock. And the flock realizes no matter where that wandering sheep has been, we're rejoicing that the sheep has come home. And the vitality of the entire community rises because all of God's sheep are here. I meet people all the time. Again, maybe they've been wounded in a church somewhere. They've given up on it. And quite honestly, they're not even sure if they walk through the door, if they'd be welcomed again. And that's a sad tale, isn't it not? It's sad that they would even think that. But oh, to walk into the sheepfold and find the grace of God just smothering you, welcoming you home, throwing a party and rejoicing as much as they do in heaven when one lost sinner comes home. They throw a party in heaven. And what a beautiful picture that is. Sometimes our preconceived notions of who God is and Jesus is and our shepherd is don't match the reality of Scripture and the pictures we've been given, even the stories that are told. We're part of something larger than ourselves. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," not "my Father who art in heaven." I know you have a personal relationship with God, but it's not so personal you can isolate yourself, or you'll become in a caste position. You'll be down and out somewhere and not be able to get up. This is why, of course, we encourage you to get connected in a life group. Oh my. That's the primary context where shepherding takes place. And when something befalls you, you've got people around you. I love to see our life groups and life group leaders spring into action, get to the hospital even before us pastors are even aware somebody's in a world of hurt. That's the body of Christ. That's the flock of God springing into action. And the community that we were made for, this is what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. You can wander away to another meadow somewhere thinking you know better, and nothing will compare or even come close to feeding you and replenishing you and revitalizing you and restoring you like the Church of the Living God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not a bar, not a social club, not a sports team. Just name the meadows that we're meandering to and wandering off to the neglect of our time together in God's house with God's people. Again, I think I'm doing what I do with my life because the Lord looked down and said, "Hey, Jones is a wanderer. We got to figure out some way to keep him tethered to the flock of God. Put him in the pulpit." But over these 30 years of ministry, Catherine and I have had ample time, wounded by this person or that person, this place or that place, to say, "We're done." But I can't leave. I can't, because I know, where do you go? Where do you go as a child of God? Where do you go as the sheep of his pasture? There is not a greener grass. So when our good shepherd restores our soul, I love that he also restores the vitality of his church. And that right there does make me bless George Frederick Handel and say, "Thank you for the hallelujah chorus," because that's what I want to sing. That's what heaven sings when one lost sinner, one wayward sheep, comes home. If that describes you, come home today. If that means to come home in a salvation sense, because all we like sheep have gone astray, we entered into this world as wandering sheep. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Come home. Come home, because he took all of your shame and your sin. And Isaiah says he laid our iniquity on him. You want to know what the cross of Christ is all about and why it's so important, so vital to this thing called Christianity, and why it separates the truth of Christianity from any other religion? Is because all of your sin and my sin were laid upon him. And God is not angry with you anymore. He poured out his wrath on his beloved son who died on that cross, rose triumphantly 3 days later, and like a good shepherd is looking for his lost sheep to bring them home to bring them home. So come home, wandering sheep. Maybe you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but for other reasons, you've kind of wandered off. I had some wandering years in college, okay? And my good shepherd came after me. He didn't scold me. Even the people he put around me, including my older brother, just used to very gently just say, he's never disappointed me, and he won't disappoint you. But he didn't scold me. He didn't get the bony finger in the face. And, you know, that's not our good shepherd. He wants to put you on his shoulders, clean you up, bind up the woundedness in you, heal you, replenish you, feed you, lead you beside still waters, and restore your soul, mind, body, spirit, emotions, to where the totality of your being, you can say, it is well with my soul.
You've been listening to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. For a complete list of resources available from Ron's ministry, visit somethinggoodradio.org.